Hello and welcome to Why is Mr. Feeney a Car? A Millennial's TV guided tour through the action television of yesteryear. Today we enter the high flying, Russian spying, people dying world of Airwolf. Aaron. This was a fun one.
I'm so glad, because I was watching this. I'm like, this is actually a really fucking banger episode of Airwolf. If Jesse said, meh. I was like, the experiment's dead. Experiment's dead. There's just no way he's ever going to appreciate any of this shit.
I didn't know the stakes were that high.
Because most of them, like, yeah, this is. I can see why a person could be like, this is kind of terrible. What the hell? And this isn't. I'm not saying this is great, but it's wildly entertaining. The budget and the execution of just the stunts and the special effects and just the sets and the costuming were just so much higher than the baseline schlock in 1985 or whatever this was playing. Great guest star, David Carradine, Bill right. from Kill Bill yeah. himself.
Out-acted our lead.
Easily.
He could be out-acted by like a, what are those things you put your 2x4s across to make a cut?
A horse?
To cut the, yeah, saw horse. A real horse would run circles around him in the acting department. Even a sawhorse, I think, could out-act.
Well, you know,
that's the same. Jan Michael Vincent.
It seems like, because you're right, when I'm watching this, I'm like, God, this guy just isn't good. except when he's got that steely vengeance gaze when he's about when he's about to squeeze, but like especially glaring out of that helmet. Like, you know, when the guest star of the week sees that look, it knows it's his ass, is what I'm
saying.
That's
true.
And I think he's good at that. And also, like, they have a nice dynamic between him and, like, Dom. Because Dom is a nut. And he's, like, gregarious and, like, his emotions on his sleeve. And, like, Hawk is his straight man. I think that dynamic already ended by the midway of the first season was really strong. And,
This was definitely strong for a season one episode.
Yeah, that's because that's the thing. It's season one, episode 11. They got a lot of these chemistry issues nailed down. They got some impressive, like I said, special effects. I always joked about like every helicopter death in Airwolf is it spiraling, trailing smoke behind the hill, and then an explosion goes off. But I forgot that they also occasionally construct a mock-up of a helicopter out of plywood, blow it up, set it on fire, and drop it from a crane. They do that sometimes, too. They have a lot of impressive amount of stock footage and explosions, and they keep it going. And the sped-up footage is a little hokey, but honestly, I don't even know why they do it, because the coolest stuff the Airwolf does is kind of like its real speed, like when it's doing a maneuverability course and like the absurdly low altitude they get before it pops its wheels out. I always think that's super fucking cool. It just like comes out right before it touches the ground. Whoop, the wheels pop out.
Right. That's just a show off move, right?
Like, it is. But it makes it look fucking cool. And I was just extremely nostalgic and big smile on my face throughout this. The music. There's this
The music, I gotta say, the sound in this episode is particularly good. Like, it's legit good.
It's like brooding synth, like the soaring kind of heroic. They replace the synth with some horns every once in a while to give it a little gravitas. Mm-hmm. Like when String's trying to get revenge off of a Strucken Fremini.
Strucken Fremini. That's a good beer name right there. The Strucken Frenemy.
Stricken Fremini. Yeah.
I like Strucken.
Strucken better. Sounds a little drunker for sure.
Yeah. It starts, the low ABV version is Stricken, and then the Strucken is the Imperial.
I think this is a quintessential. This seems like, yes, this feels like the highest rated episode of Airwolf. It definitely lays claim to that. Let me ask you this. Have you warmed up to the theme song any?
Or you still a little kinda bit. Okay. Because they really, they're playing the theme song throughout the entire episode.
Yeah.
A lot. And they do this cool thing. Well, kind of cheesy thing, but they put in like digital, like, what would you call it? Interference sound effects when they're around this supercomputer that is like an important part of the show. And they played the theme song through the like the glitching out sound effects. And it works. I liked it. And so now it, actually today,
really creepy, yeah.
I've just been working on the machinery and stuff at work and like doing a little trumpet voice to myself, like at work. I gotta be careful because it's a really loud work environment, so I could like I like sing and stuff
sure.
to myself at work, and then every now and then I turn around and there's someone like 18 inches away. Yeah, just doing the mouth trumpet of the Airwolf song, no big deal.
Just playing my mouth trumpet, boss. No, I've said many times, like when I'm doing something, especially when I'm like driving fast or riding my motorcycle fast or you know, cornering at speed, I'm like half the time humming this
but Knight Rider's still cooler though.
Knight Rider, yeah, Knight Rider is pretty, I mean, it's up there. It's up there for sure. Shall we get into the recap?
Yeah, let's do it. Take it away, Aaron.
They added something that I don't remember, but it definitely I deeply grokked is this Airwolf briefing and schematics that they kind of opened the show for viewers. Like, hey, here's the whole deal.
Yeah.
These guys have kind of stolen Airwolf from us and they're holding a hostage until we find his brother. And here's Airwolf and here's all of its capabilities. And it's like all this wireframe 1980s graphics that I was just like, oh, fuck yes. When I was a kid, I used to love like half of my childhood drawings, especially like from age 11 to 14, an embarrassing amount of them are schematics of like stupid robots and technology I was going to develop. And I love doing three-way views and cutaway views and showing, like showing imaginary parts and machinery and stuff. So this stuff was fucking my jam. I also noticed the Airwolf service ceiling is 90,000 feet.
Is that a lot or not
a
lot?
That's a lot. That's a lot for a helicopter, I think. Right. But it's also Mach capable, which I think is impossible for a helicopter.
You would think it would be heavy as hell. Like, there's a lot of doodads in there.
It's got the armor that it's carrying. Like, it's essentially impervious to small arms and even cannon fire.
Yeah, yet they're, like, constantly flying around in canyons and stuff. If it can do 90,000 feet, it should basically be able to nuke you from orbit.
It's true. But I guess that's you're going to be visible on radar. Who knows? Although I think it's kind of stealthy, too. But so in this first scene, after the briefing, Hawk flies Airwolf into the side of a canyon. Dom screams, they're consumed in a ball of fire. That's it.
Yep. Episode over. Series over. It's a wrap. They crash into Mike, who's still falling from the MacGyver episode. They chop her up with the helicopter blades and then crash into the side of the canyon wall.
Something that Jim and I do to amuse ourselves is anytime you have a setup of an episode like this, we love to cut, like pretend like it is the end and just cut to the final credits. And it's just, I don't know, it always slays me.
It's very funny.
You know. But they're flying in this canyon. It's your standard mission where Airwolf's trying to get the drop on a fast moving ground target. They're going in low to avoid the radar. Stringfellow Hawk is turboing through the canyon because he's a maniac. Man, every time Hawk's helmet snaps into visor mode, it also just like the little kid in me goes like, fucking yeah, it looks so cool. And it's got that little red laser mark, the designator on it. He spots this old Russian APC and it blows it the fuck. And then he's like trying to pull out a can. He's like, I don't know, Dom, the controls feel mushy.
Right. Yeah.
And he flies it right to the wall. And Dom wakes up in heaven, but it's actually just Archangel, and they're in a sophisticated simulator.
So I on my second go through of this episode, I was wondering, because there's a throwaway line where it's like, there's a APC, that looks like it's Russian made. I think that might have been a little clue that the models used in the simulator were Russian.
Yeah.
Although you would think we would also be simulating fighting the Russians because they're the number one enemy. So I mean,
true,
I don't know.
True, but
it
you're
might
right.
have been clever writing.
It turns out the big bad was a Russian espionage agent trying to steal the plans for Airwolf. Mm-hmm. So, We're going to meet the developer of the simulator, which is a Dr. Robert Winchester, who's played by David Carradine. And
just cracks me up, all these pilots and stuff. It's like, can we get someone under the age of 45, maybe, for one of these flyboys?
Stringfellow is 35. They said it in the dossier, okay?
Okay, all right.
But it's what's interesting is he's introduced as an acolyte of Airwolf's designer, Moffat, which we found out in the pilot is a homicidal maniac.
Yeah, he turned evil.
And I think there is a little, like, there's this rivalry between Hawk and Winchester.
Yes.
The names of these guys, Archangel, Hawk, Winchester.
Yes.
Is like, he's like, I just don't trust him.
Those are also the names of the three frisbee golf discs I use the most.
That, the manta, the shark, and the basket reaper. I don't know.
Basket reaper.
Super soft basket reaper.
Ultra S.
Long throwing, no fading.
No fade, that's right.
little disc golf humor for the three or four stoners out there to get it.
Happy 420, by the way, tomorrow to all the disc golf enthusiasts.
To all
out there.
Who celebrate, yeah, who partake. So Dom is kind of oohing and aahing over this simulator, which is like amazing by 2023 standards.
Right. It's hyper realistic graphics in like 1988.
Yeah, although I will say, goddamn, my son plays this DCS game and at highest resolution on a decent machine.
I can't tell. There's A-Rod here. I can't tell the whippersnappers.
Well, he's got the full weather effects on. It's pretty.
Okay.
I'm going to say it, and I've never been wrong before. Graphics will never look more realistic than they do right now. You can take that to the bank.
Indeed.
You know who's not impressed with the simulator? Hawk, who comes out there. Is like, dude,
of course not.
This is a stupid video machine. Real Airwolf wouldn't have made out of that canyon. This is dumb. I'm going home. It's literally.
You're not joking when you say video machine either.
No, yeah.
He calls it a video machine.
He's like my father damning my Game Boy. Give me that video machine. You should have mowed the lawn 3 hours ago. Give me that video machine.
You're painting a very complex picture of your father this episode.
It's not that complicated, honestly. He's just your standard maniacal boomer dad. I love you, Dad, even though you never listened to a podcast. So you know what? No. I got to keep it clean.
I'm going to say it now. If my daughter ever has a podcast, I'm going to go ahead and not listen to it also.
Yeah, I guess that's
out of respect.
It is a little
that's
liberating.
Her space.
Yeah, they're not going to interfere that way.
Exactly.
God, I love these sets. This is like probably some hangar bay reuse from Battlestar Galactica.
Totally.
But it's got these
like
fiber optic panels and fiber optic hoses and
the cables are in the cables light up like a gamer PC.
Yeah. Except for they're not RGB. It's just all white lights because that shit's expensive.
That's a good look though.
It does look fucking cool, but I'm certain that's a Buck Rogers set or something.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
It looks so good. And then it's like this fucking episode's chock full of them. We finally I'm so mad we get to see the Wolf Slayer. We kind of saw it from a distance, but like how that Mesa works and it's hollow and it's kind of their base of operations and looks so
Mesa at the Mesa.
It looks so good in the snow too. Goddamn. Airwolf's cockpit is badass. Like it's they got a lot of good sets. Stringfellow Hawk's cabin is excessive, but it's a cool location. Archangel got a new hot girl in an ice cream flight suit. Her name is Morella. I don't know much about her. I don't think she came in late in the season, and I don't think she lasted to the second. So
I hope she doesn't enjoy mountaineering. That's all I can say.
True. Winchester insists that they have to get Hawk back to participate in phase two of the program, whatever the fuck that is. Winchester's assistant Diana gives Dom and the hot girl Morella a tour of the sim viewing system and talks about the capabilities of the sim and the helicopter. And Dom says, wow, Diane, you could hardly tell the difference. And it smash cuts to Hawk saying, I could tell the difference. And he's upset because he thinks that they're attempting to teach him things.
And yeah.
And he's more of a self-taught type of guy.
Right. Yeah.
But Archangel says, no, no, Hawk, it's not that at all. It's just that there's only one of you, and what, and you do crazy shit. You play cello to bald eagles. You go mountain climbing with MacGyver. You drink heroic amounts and do frightening amount of drugs. What if something happens to you? Right. We'd have no one to replace your piloting skills. And also, like, eventually we want a whole Airwolf program when we find your brother and you give us the helicopter back. We got it. So Hawk's like, fine, I guess. Sure.
I like how you play him as like a more juvenile Batman.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, a lot of arrested development here. Hawk also reveals that he knows a lot about this Winchester and his original participation in an Airwolf program. And he asks Archangel why he didn't make it into the Airwolf program. And Archangel says his technical skills are too valuable. And Hawk's like, yes, that's what I heard. I heard he couldn't cut it. I heard he washed out. So, and they talk about the mop. So anyway, I don't know. I can't think of an elegant way to talk about it, but to make a Pete Rose reference here.
Oh, right. Yeah. Pete Rose will live forever.
Famed Cincinnati Red Pete Rose. And I just want to put that out there because he's a local legend and disgraced and like 92 years old. This man is clinging to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're talking in this
like
episode.
His all-time hit record.
They're talking about how he's immortal, like how he'll live forever.
Yeah.
In this episode. He's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then Dom's like, I can't wait till he goes to the Hall of Fame. It's going to be so cool. but this is like in the heyday of the big red machine, I guess. Like the Reds must have been something at a national level for them to get this kind of play.
I can only imagine.
I lived in Indianapolis. We didn't have a major league team, so like I have never given a fuck about baseball.
I
know who
yeah.
Pete Rose is, but that's about it.
Seattle Mariners. The only I'm rooting for the Mariners to win now, because if they're winning, it's less likely that my ferry is going to be full of Mariners fans who left the game early. So now I want them to win home games so my commute
chess.
Is better.
Yeah,
that's
our
as far as my
Eric is like a sincere fan of, and he's taken me to a couple of games, and I do love watching a baseball game.
I like
on
going
a nice,
to the ball game.
On a nice
sure.
day, yeah, eating a hot dog, drinking a beer, but I fucking. He's always like, oh, this Shinobi guy, he's his ERBs are over VA. And it's kind of, I'm like, yeah, dude, fucking total. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
His IPA over ESB is
sure. 0.5%. I'm like, sure, dad. When are you going to have another Seattle dog?
yeah, Seattle dogs are good.
So Archangel's like, okay, what if I let you take Airwolf to some hidden spot in the desert every night? You know, we won't even make you stay at the facility. And Hawk's like, fine. So Dom and Hawk drive out to the Wolf Slayer. As I mentioned, it's shrouded in snow. It's such a great, like, and this also show is a little bit like Voltron in that they only write about 30 minutes of script and then they can count on, well, you know, Dom and Hawk's gonna have to drive out the Wolf Slayer and we'll get at least 60 seconds out of that. And, you know, they got a power up and ooh and ah over the cockpit. There's like 5 minutes of just the same shit you always get in Airwolf that they can kind of like rely on. I did wonder now that I'm watching as an adult, how the fuck did they maintain Airwolf?
Yeah, right. Like, isn't it like a, I don't know, whatever, like the current edition of like a U.S. fighter engine, a fighter jet is. Yeah. It's like for every 1 hour of airtime, it requires 100 hours of maintenance.
I imagine helicopters are probably even, if anything, more intense.
Right. And the jet fuel, presumably.
The weapons. I mean, like, I know the Archangel's Foundation is probably fronting them on that, but like the maintenance, how do they do the maintenance? Because like if they drop it off at a garage,
they'll
just steal
it. They need a Bonnie.
Yeah, they need a Bonnie. They need a Bonnie and a Bonnie mobile.
Right, yeah.
Dom and Hawk bro bond over how sexy Airwolf is and how they want to fuck it. Fuck its pitot tubes.
Ew. Okay.
And Dom's like, you know, Hawk, I kind of like the idea. a guy my age, something surviving beyond my death. Like, it's cool. Future pilots learning from our skills and flying against Hawk and Dom and wondering who the hell were these guys? They're so good. And he's kind of like, Hawk's kind of warming up to the idea.
But it's a silly premise, though, right? Because he's like, we'll live as legends, these unbeatable algorithms for future pilots to test off of. But it's like, the pilots in the future are going to keep getting better and better. It's like,
plus, like, let's say that you had a perfect simulation of Baron von Richthofen or whatever. Like, who the fuck is going to practice in a Sopwith camel taking him out? Like,
right, yeah, yeah.
Like, I get Airwolf's advanced, but in 20 years, they'll have, you know, Air Tiger, and it's going to be dog piss.
Oh, damn. Right. It's like a... I don't know, trying to study like Fran Tarkington because he was the best quarterback in his era. It's like, no, there's 28 quarterbacks in the league right now better than Fran Tarkington.
Especially that league, like a good passing year for a quarterback was like 3,000 yards. Like, yeah. Oh, he's blistering the gridiron.
Yeah. He almost had 40% completions.
So, meanwhile, Winchester and Diane are back at the simulator, and he smugly outdoes Hawk by pulling the virtual Airwolf out of the canyon.
I beat the video game that I made. Take that, straight
fellow.
On your
30th try, honey, you did real good.
Yeah, great.
After you tweaked the simulator 3 times.
Uh-huh, and you did use save states, so this is not an official speedrun.
The next day, Hawk and Dom land at the research facility, which is hiding out in plain sight in a remote, rugged location. They quickly install a telemetry pod and Airwolf to track their maneuvers and then have them do a whole bunch of exercises, which honestly seem kind of dangerous. Like, Hawk is acting like, oh, he's doing like a imitation of a Buick commercial, you know, like, oh, they're putting us through Detroit's hardest traffic pass. It's the all new Airwolf, rugged, reliable. but they're doing, yeah, they're essentially having Airwolf do traffic cone maneuvers, which I think looks ridiculous. It's stupid. Yes. I can't imagine the military context of it, but it looks fucking cool and dangerous.
It does, because it's way dangerous.
Yeah, it's like, this is a civilian aircraft wheels up just 2 feet from the ground. Like, the stunt pilots they had on the show must have been honestly incredible.
Dude, absolutely.
Like, they fuck up and the production loses $1 million and potentially their lives.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting. Insured to hell, I'm sure.
Do you know, like, it's funny that this and Blue Thunder, the two helicopter shows, and Blue Thunder had a movie too. I looked into this. There are countless official kits across the country because they built like 70 of them or something. There's dozens of restored General Lees that were actually in. There are no extant copies of Blue Thunder or Airwolf. There was only ever one Airwolf, flyable Airwolf. As soon as the series was canceled, they rebuilt it back into a civilian helicopter. It did service as an air ambulance in the Alps and crashed in 1997, killing all aboard and destroying the airframe.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And we need to go recover. Can we go to the crash site, recover some chunks of
Stringfellow Hawk's eyebrow?
Oh, he was still piloting it.
It's this deep cover as an air hospital. But yeah, it's like there's no museums, like there's no Smithsonian exhibits.
Wow.
It's just they're
gone. What a shame.
Yeah, too expensive. I had to take care of them. So Hawk makes fun of this pity potty bullshit. They also destroy stationary and moving vehicles. And Winchester says they're not going to be using live ammo. The computer's going to do all the telemetry. And he uses that to play a trick on Hawk. So Hawk is doing this mobile exercise where, ridiculously, he's like following this Jeep 50 foot off of its rear bumper.
Yeah.
And slaloming with it when, I mean, like, I imagine as a helicopter, you just turn on your guns and just blow it. You know, like, why do you have to get on the tail of a Jeep? Why do you have to get on a Jeep 6 to take it out? But he does, and the Winchester has the gall to say he missed.
Ceiling of 90,000 feet, by the way.
Right, right.
90,000 feet.
So Archangel, later over mimosas, Archangel's got a RV on the lab site where he's staying in luxury. And he offers it. He says, you know, I got the beefed up security here at the lab. You're free to keep Airwolf here. It'll be safe. And Hawk and Dom like, fuck that. We're going Airwolf camping. And Winchester comes and says, you're only 87% accurate today, which sends right. Hawk into a tizzy, damning uh-huh. the computers and the statisticians. And Winchester pokes him about who's going to be more prone to lie, the computer or the pilot?
The pilot.
Or the man who wants to humiliate the pilot, huh?
Uh-huh. And this is all part of a clever ruse.
It is. There's like wheels within wheels. I'm not sure they all track, but there's a lot of wheels.
No, it tracks perfectly.
All right. So they're out cowboy camping with Airwolf. They got a cool camo net thrown over it so it can't be seen from the air. And Dom by the campfire is like, what gives, Hawk? You didn't give a shit about any of the simulating stuff right. until
he
it says.
He makes a good point.
Yeah, he's like, you think it's all dumb and these computers are wrong. And then the computer says you're wrong. And you're like, what the fuck? And take it totally to heart.
Yeah.
And he says this is about the deep history that Winchester had with Moffat, that they kind of simpatico, spoke the same language, and he doesn't trust him, he doesn't like him, and he's made it personal. And Dom sees that Hawk's getting worked up about it, so he quickly changes the subject about how nice it is to be out of the city, and he observes the big moon in the sky, and they have a coyote howling competition.
They do. There's some problematic and outdated ideas get expressed.
The coyotes, their individual inner coyotes' manliness.
Yeah, yeah.
And machismo were called into question.
Right. Yeah, one was accused of painting its fingernails. How dare it?
Well, Jay, I mean, your fingernails are painted. Does this mean
they sure are, Aira.
You are not a real man?
I'm definitely not a real coyote.
Also, like, as like he says, you sound like a coyote paint his fingernails. Coyotes don't have fingernails, man. They might paint their claws.
Yeah, that's a good point. They don't really have. Oh god, I just had a weird mental image of a coyote with like human fingers.
I had the same thing. It's disturbing.
It's weird that they went with coyote though instead of wolf howls.
Right.
The guy's name is Wolf.
But I guess like a pack of wolves would be legit.
Wait,
scary
his name
to hear.
Is Hawk. Hang on.
But it's Air Wolf.
Right. Shouldn't he be Air Hawk?
Well, it's the helicopter, not the man. Which is really the star of the show. That's the thing.
How do you separate the two anymore?
Once you got the helmet on, I don't think you can.
He's more a helicopter now than man, twisted and evil.
I don't know. I like a good nighttime shot, and it looks like they actually filmed it at night.
Yeah, it's real nighttime for sure. It looks cold.
They're just goofing. They're just goofing by a campfire, and
yeah,
a little sexist.
This is your theory of like, we'll just plan for 2 minutes of them just goofing around at the fire. We don't need to write this.
And they have a good chemistry. Like Ernest Borgnine can like make pretty shitty material entertaining just by being a lunatic.
Yeah.
You see, he actually reminds me of like he's a lot like Jim's dad with the edges sanded off of him. Because Jim's dad Al was this big, high energy, gregarious guy.
What?
Yeah, motor mouth Italian.
What?
Sounded like a made man. I wish you guys could meet Jim's dad. He's a board game demon, complete nutcase. Maniacal competitor, funny as hell, really gets under Jim's skin occasionally.
I'm shocked.
It's a hoot.
There you go.
We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping. And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeney a car? So at a dive bar, Winchester gives Diana a whirl. I want to talk about Diana here because you mentioned it on the live watch you were doing last night on the twitch.tv/blue_j_streams.
Thank you.
You said, I think I've seen this woman in some of these other shitty shows we've watched. And indeed you have. This is Sandra Curie, who played Francesca in Knight Rider Season 1, Episode 6, Not a Drop to Drink, the cow math episode.
Oh!
Yeah! She's the fiery... She's the fiery redhead.
Oh, thank you so much. Cow math. Okay. It all finally clicked on
I knew
that
your
one.
Eyes would be glazed until I said cow math, and then, like, boom, boom. Would all come together.
I wonder if there's a helicopter jet fuel version of cow math. Like, all right, one, we got one. 9,
how many gallons
foot
to the aeronautical mile do we get when the head speed is at? I will say that the Sandra Curie, I wonder if Sandra Curie is a professional dancer, because I noticed a couple things. They shoehorned them kind of cut in a rug, and she was doing some twists and twirls. And she's got fantastic legs. Mm-hmm. Like really well-developed calves and whatnot. And like later in the episode, she'll be doing like jazzercise to distract guards. And she looks really good in the leotard.
When I was talking about cow math, I didn't mean we're talking about well-developed calves.
Yeah, what is the Euclidean geometry of those puppies? Anyway, she butters this guy up, and they talk about their plan of goading Hawk into a head-to-head simulator challenge so they can get more data on him.
Yeah.
And that Hawk was perfect, and they fabricated his shitty test result.
They're in, like, a committed relationship, right? They're, like, boyfriend and girlfriend at this point.
It seems like it. I think so, but I mean, obviously, this is like some kind of Red Robin Russian operation.
She's very good at
operation
Onion
acting. Ring. Red Sparrow, not Red Robin.
I don't know. But yeah, so it is a funny moment where she's talking about double crossing Stringfellow, and then immediately finds another man to talk to about double crossing.
She nuzzles up to Carradine and spills his drink in his lap. She's like, oh, honey, you need to go rinse that out with cold water now. And Carradine's like, okay. And she then sidles over and this Russian John Turturro looking fucker says, oh, how much control do you have over your man? And she's like, complete. And he's like, oh. And she observes that the machines keep getting smarter, but men stay exactly as stupid as they've been since the dawn of fucking time. And she's no lies detected. We're pretty dumb.
That's what I like about machines. They keep getting smarter, and I stay just as dumb.
Yeah. I wonder what version of ChatGPT Airwolf has installed on it. It's so funny looking at like how they envisioned advanced technology and artificial intelligence back in the 80s and what it is like now. Everybody spends all their time trying to trick it and writing porn for them.
Right.
Hawk is doing a demonstration the next day and he's lining up on a target, takes a shot, and he immediately asks for confirmation on the kill. And Winchester's like, yeah, we don't do that till the end of the day. And Hawk's like, bullshit. I'm taking off right now. unless you tell me if I hit that target. And Winchester says, you whiffed it. And Hawk says, I'm landing this bird and I'm talking to you right now, mister. I'm calling the ref out to the mound.
Right. Which usually gets you ejected.
Yeah, yeah. But he also owns the ball, so.
I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
So Hawk is genuinely pissed and he lands and he jumps in the Winchester's face and he demands to know, hey, if you know so much, why aren't you the one flying Airwolf?
Right.
And Winchester says, yeah, it's a pity. And Hawk says, it's a shame there aren't two Airwolves so we could settle this like men. Mm-hmm. And Winchester says, guess what, pal?
Yeah.
I can simulate too.
Yeah, finally PvP, Airwolf v. Airwolf.
And it's on like Donkey Kong. There is like Hawk expresses a suspicion, like, well, how do I know you're going to play this square? And because like it's a valid question. He's been cheating the whole time thus far. And he's like, ah, it's a matter of pride. I wouldn't do that. It's like, okay.
He's also like, do you want to swap helicopters? So it's a little bit of that scene in Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Of like which glass has the poison.
Yeah.
But eventually, Shrinkfellow's just like, yeah, whatever, I'll beat you no matter what. Even if you want to cheat, I'll either know for sure you're cheating or I'll beat you.
So now they're facing off heli to heli, and there's this great shot where they're using probably apparently split screen technology to show the two Airwolves in the simulator squared off. And the synthesizer, this is where the really cool synthesizer sets up, and the Airwolves take off in each other's faces and head off in opposite directions. And it's like, it is like men pacing off in a duel. It's just ridiculously cool. There's also, I skipped the scene where Dom is talking to Hawk about being unsure about letting Airwolf be. He's like, I don't know, Hawk, this seems like, it's personal. You're letting them hook up the machines to our sweet baby, and I don't know about that. And Hawk's like, damn it, this is personal. I got to beat this guy. And Carradine has, so he's perfected the Airwolf profile now after all these days of testing. He's got it dialed in. He asks Hawk, is this, you know, is it handling like Airwolf? And Hawk's like, yeah. So Carradine says, all right, put him on the ground. And just from inside the simulator, I thought it was funny because we just saw Hawk flying at like 200 or 300 feet. What was the simulated experience like? Did he just instantly snap to the ground? 2 seconds later, they're head to head. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. That'd be disorientating, I would think.
He throws up in his helmet.
he puts the visor down so people can't see. It just flashes. So John Turturro, Russian John Turturro, is outside the base hiding in the bushes with some commandos. He's up to no good. Winchester is able to track Hawk down and get a beat on him and just rake his Airwolf with cannon fire. And Winchester taunts him about not being able to lose him. And Hawk says, I'm not trying to lose you. I'm giving you a little flying lesson. He hits the boosters, climbs at a steep angle, enters combat mode, executes a hammerhead turn that puts him on Winchester's tail. A missile launch later, and apparently is over, but their exercise is interrupted by security klaxons warning about a perimeter breach. Russian John Turturro.
Yeah, the Russians get it. They like annihilate a truck full of guys first.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is a chance for kind of the tone between the two rival pilots to change a little bit because Stringfellow notices that David Carradine, he wants to protect Airhawk during this this emergency.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, he must be cool because his only thought during this invasion is we must get Airwolf to safety. Just really impressive.
Oh, I said Airhawk.
Oh, I thought you were being funny.
No, just okay. Stupid.
So Winchester, like you said, springs into action to try to push Airwolf out of the hangar so they can get up in the air. Airwolf then manages to take off and just runs a Russian Turturro off the base. I do think the Airwolf is cool in comparison to Knight Rider and A-Team and some of the others we've seen, and they're willing to kill motherfuckers.
That's what I was going to say.
Guns and rockets.
I like that about this show. It was such a breath of fresh air after A-Team.
It's ruthless.
that like people can die in this show. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's, what does that say about me? I don't know.
And I do think that like they intended Airwolf to be a little bit more mature and sexy action alternative to some of the more family friendly. You know, they're doing a lot of sex, a lot of, you know, drugs and hard drinking and killing, lots of killing.
A-Team, if this was A-Team, there would be a lot more parachutes.
That's true. That's true. A lot of guys bailing out before their shit explodes.
Yep.
Archangel shows up and just chews Winchester and Hawk a new asshole for the misuse of resources.
Do you think this was warranted or not? Because I think it was kind of overreacting. Like, wouldn't you get great data from this, like, PvP experience?
Yes, but doing it off the books and almost getting Airwolf captured by a commando team would have been a disaster. So, like...
well, that's...
Maybe they should have done an official
phase. The commando team's not their fault.
Huh?
It's not their fault there was a commando team.
No, but I'm saying, like, doing it off the books where there's nobody there at the base except for maybe a skeleton security team. I don't know. Archangel does take credit for the security team repelling the invasion, even though obviously it was Airwolf that did it. So, and Archangel also demands to know what the fuck you four, because of your unlicensed operation, are the only ones that knew how someone in this room is the betrayer. So he shuts down Winchester and Diane, confines them under lab arrest, and they're like, what the fuck? You can't do this. And Malacca, or Malena is like...
It's malarkey.
She's like, it's national... We're a government agency. This is national security. You're fucked. So,
right.
Oh, right. Yes.
About all I did forget about the whole treason thing. Damn.
Yeah, we have black sites, okay?
Which is also, why don't they just kidnap and torture Stringfellow until he reveals where Airwolf is?
I don't know. Like, making the official channels of the government that ruthless is probably a little bit too far for 1985 television series.
Oh, come on.
They'll tie a half-naked woman out in the desert and have her die of exposure.
Holy shit, I did forget about that.
Yeah, that's fucking...
That was pretty wild.
I just wish the pile wasn't 2 hours long.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a really cool, like, 60-minute. They could even have to be a little long.
You know what? Is it too late to change the name of this podcast to I Wish the Pilot Wasn't 2 Hours Long?
Yeah. Feature-length pilot suck, starring Jay and Aaron.
Mostly Jay.
So Hawk comforts Winchester and says, hey, I know you're innocent because your first instinct was to save our sweet lady here. And he gives him credit for the duel, saying he fought a hard contest. They're both pretty false modesty about it. I mean, it's funny. These kids are written like 10-year-olds on a baseball diamond, you know, showing grudging respect for each other's pitching and hitting game.
Yeah, but now they're friends. So
there's these shy smiles between them and like, oh, Hawk, you really mean it.
You got me. Well, you never know. You could have gotten out of that situation, blah, blah, blah. But now it's on. Yeah. I love it.
So Winchester asks Hawk if it's anything like flying a real Airwolf. He's like, I tell you what, Doc, once this all blows over, I'll bring Airwolf back for another demonstration and I'll take you for a spin.
Hell yeah.
And Diana looks on with approval. Everything's happening according to her plan.
Was it her plan for them to become friends, though? I don't think it was.
Well, she just wanted to scheme a way for Airwolf to be hooked up to their computers.
Right.
And this is suiting her purposes. Whether they do it as rivalry or, like, geeking out BFFs, it's all the same to her.
The internet has really ruined a lot of good espionage of, like, planting miniature tape cassette recorders in, like, potted plants and stuff. You know, now it's all just done through the internet. Like, if we can get connected through the...
There's no passion, no statecraft anymore.
There's no seducing scientists. Mm-mm, it's all just done through phishing scams.
It's
phishing emails. It's
a damn shame. It's a damn shame.
Yeah.
So... The next thrilling thing that happens is Airwolf taking off in an atrocious day for night shot. Inside, here's the thing. You can't do a day for night shot when the sky is blue.
Right.
It has to be overcast, a little
cloudy.
That's
LA, dude.
You can't do, I know it's in the desert and all that stuff, but like still, like, damn, it just looks so ass. Inside the lab, Diana praises Winchester's performance. Butter, 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 up, up, up. She's buttering him up. And she's like, you know, Hawk only won because of his experience and the fact he's better than you. That's the only reason. And like, what the fuck is that? He's only better because he knows how to fly better because he's been doing it longer.
You know, Peyton Manning's only a better quarterback than me because of his, you know, years of experience ever since he was a child playing quarterback. But that's the only reason.
And he's like this, got this, he's just got this intense jealousy because he was like the more bookish pilot and Hawk was the golden boy with the golden arm. And, she says that, well, what if you were able to fly like him? And he's like, how could I, what, to take on the mind of Hawk? She's like, no, the mind of the machine.
Yep.
As she drops the title of the episode.
Uh-huh. It should actually, the title card should show up at this point. It should
in
just
the
say
Airwolf font.
Yeah, E1, S1, E11, mind of the machine right there for like 10 frames.
So she goes, you know, when I was hooking up the Airwolf's telemetry, I noticed that there's like this kind of back door where Airwolf automatically keeps an extensive file of all their combat operations. Every time it goes into combat mode, it records detailed telemetry and pilot information and data. And it would allow Winchester to study all of Hawk's moves in actual combat situations. She says she wants to make copies of Airwolf's files so they can look through them at their leisure. And he's reluctant because this is, again, a massive breach of national security. But then she's like, whoa, don't you want to be like Hawk? And he relents. So Airwolf then turns on remotely. This is some kind of remote backdoor she's using in the its cave, or as Hawk and Dom are camping, and she starts downloading this raw combat footage. And it's kind of like a mini clip show. These are presumably every explosion that we've seen on Airwolf to date. Yeah. I'm not sure how much you'd get off of this combat data. Like the last 1 second of gun footage, you know.
It turns out if you hit the artillery piece with a rocket dead on, it's going to blow up. Wow.
Take notes. That's a key fact. Winchester gets this dreamy look on his face. It's like, it reminds me of something Moffat said. He says, Robert, my boy, Airwolf is very much a living thing.
Right.
And more ways more than you can imagine.
Yeah, it gets weird.
And he's like, it is like a living thing because it has inside of itself DNA. And by DNA, I mean the complete construction schematics in his computer core. And I'm like, I thought they're going to some cool AI direction with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just literally. Like
it can infect like your, it's going to infect the like channel 7 news chopper with its AI at some point, and then slowly that'll turn into an Airwolf. That would be cool.
It'll be called Air Tiger, and it'll be voiced by a deeper modulated version of Stringfellow Hawk. But I'm like, this is kind of lame. It's like it contains a climber manual for Airwolf, essentially.
Which, like, my understanding is and this is a little bit of a tangent, but take the Osama bin Laden raid in Pakistan, right? The United States lost a Black Hawk helicopter in that raid and like blew it up so that other governments can't study it, right?
Right.
You're telling me we're putting the entire, like, every piece of information required to build an Airwolf is contained in the Airwolf? If that thing ever crashed overseas, it would be like, they wouldn't have to reverse engineer it. They have the instruction booklet right there.
Well, you know, I think Moffat's crazy, and he believed in destabilizing the world. So maybe
that
was intentional.
That's an excellent point.
He's like, every time America goes in some kind of third world adventuring and these are shot down, it's going to be another copy of Airwolf. It will be a living organism.
Airwolf.
Where's my latest dancing girl to torture to death? he's fucking insane. So.
Get over here, Gaddafi, you old son of a gun. Airwolf's pregnant. I thought you should be the first to know.
Airwolf just got a bell pregnant with its mind of its machine. Oh God!
Remember when I said it's vulnerable in the refueling rod?
It's also its greatest weapon. So, Diane does some jazzercise stretching outside the lab, which
she
it's just to distract the guards, but it's just gratuitous. It's just,
I think it's so she can like hide her conversation she's having.
Yeah.
On the phone.
Just
she's like,
deep ends, boys. I'm not talking on a CB, just deep ends.
Yeah, exactly. It's gratuitous as hell.
So she calls Totoro on the radio, and they give each other covert instructions about how they're going to steal Airwolf and deliver it, and escape to Mexico City. And meanwhile, men are installing equipment on this jank civilian hospital or helicopter has been spray painted matte black and has several giant PVC tubes attached.
Yeah.
To its skids to look like rocket and gun pods.
That's essentially like putting on makeup for Airwolf.
Yeah, and this is essentially the op four of every fucking Airwolf. It's always some lame Magnum PI looking helicopter, spray painted black or green or camo, with a bunch of PVC, 6-inch PVC pipe strapped to it that make it look like it's got some kind of. And then the Dom will, in this episode, he's like, "Oh my god, I can't believe he's keeping up with Airwolf. It must be a souped up version of a helicopter." Yeah, it's like they always have to make excuses for the fact that, guess what, Airwolf can't go Mach 1.
Right.
So, but they're installing a whole bunch of snooping data that's going to allow them to take remote control of Airwolf on the fly.
Right. It's pretty good. If this had worked, I think they would get, like, the Spy Medal of Honor.
It'd
or something.
It'd be the coup of the century,
yeah. It would be great spiesmanship.
Yeah, for sure. So Dominate and Hawk are camping under Airwolf. Dom is relaxing, and Hawk mentions that Michael, the Archangel, will be calling him soon, which he does instantly, and Dom frets that now he can hear radio waves. Aye.
All right.
Some light Dom and Hawk humor.
I get it. Yeah.
Airwolf comes lands out in the desert where Archangel has rented a white limousine to meet them.
Oh, it has to
because
be,
he's
of course.
Pimp. Yeah. He's a pimp.
He kind of is, isn't he?
He kind of is a pimp, man. So he asks, he's like, we got dossiers on all those commandos that raided us last night. Do you recognize any of them? And Hawk recognizes the Russian John Turturro. And he's like, it makes sense. It's a Russian who's been stealing a bunch of our technology, including the sweep wing of the F-14 Tomcat. Was that what it was?
I don't know.
Some kind of top secret government information.
Yeah.
And Hawk says, look, obviously I'm not dirty. Dom's not dirty. And I want you to consider the Winchester's not dirty. I don't know. It's just like they just threw this line to make sure you know that Hawk's got Winchester's back now. It's like, I want you guys to give him a fair shake.
Right. He passed my sniff test. We're best friends now.
I gave him an ocular pat down. He's cool.
We've known each other for a day and a half. He's my best friend. He's going to be my best man in my wedding.
I said he's cool. He's cool, but- okay? Archangel had a funny line here. He's like, relax, Hawk. We try traitors the same as pickpockets. Everyone's got the same. It's like, okay, I guess. Yeah. Everyone's accountable under the law. We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? So there's another security breach as this jank-ass helicopter flies over the range. It's chased by a Jeep with a 50 caliber machine gun, and those dudes are fucking killed. They're murdered by this black helicopter. No bailouts for these guys. They blow up. Winchester goes into the lab and finds Diana loading up giant reel-to-reel data tapes that she's stolen from Airwolf. And she explains they're going to be taken back to her country.
Right, which I guess is Russia, but...
Yeah, she's
man,
got
she's got a
accent.
Pretty good American accent. There's not a Russian accent in this
it's
episode.
It's like the Americans, man. It's like Carrie Washington... Well, not Washington. Whatever. The Carrie Russell, the one that's in the Americans. Like, they've trained for years. She went to the Red Sparrow Academy of Russian Seduction. She speaks flawless English.
I will take your word for it.
She can probably affect a pretty good British accent in case she needs to do some NATO work.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, they briefly scuffle, and then the Russian John Turturro comes in and shoots Winchester for resisting. She frets over him, and he's like, "It's not like you to be this sentimental, Gloriana."
Gloriana.
And
not
she,
a Russian name.
She coldly says she doesn't need him, and she's back on the mission. So Archangel finds Winchester dying on the floor, and he tells them the agents have stolen the Airwolf data. Archangel calls Hawk, who's on his way back to the lair, and fills him in and asks for help. And Hawk does a 180 and flips on the turbos to ride to the rescue.
Right.
There's a really elegant and heroic version of the theme that's got like the horns and the symphony accompaniment that plays as Hawk swears his revenge for Winchester. You know, he's really pissed. He's committed now. His best friend's been assaulted.
Yeah, my new best friend. How dare you shoot my new best friend? I was going to shoot him 2 days ago, and now I think it's cool, and you shot him.
Right. Yeah. You've spoiled our tragic bro story. So Airwolf comes in range and
he's gonna teach me this cool sex thing.
oh my god
we had to
god.
Make one joke about it.
Yeah, you had to it's been enough time.
Couldn't just leave it hanging there.
Oh Jesus. So let me mark that in case I want to clean it up a bit, but I'll probably
fair
leave
enough.
It out. Gloriana spots Airwolf, but she's oddly unconcerned. She's in fact planning to lure them into her technology range to hijack it, and then destroy Airwolf so they'll have the only copy, making it more valuable.
She goes so extra right here. She's like, "Well, if we can destroy Airwolf, then we'll have the only one." Ha ha ha! But it's like, you are about to get away with this heist, dude. You almost have it.
They're just so confident that they can. It's their confidence in their electronics. This is like, you know, a big 80s theme because everyone's freaking out. Like, this is like the dawn of the ATM. Like, oh my God, machines are coming for our jobs in a real way. Robotics in factories, things like that. People are freaking out. And
this is
like,
the Gen X perspective I need, because that did not occur to me.
Yeah, when he says flip off the computer, we're going back to Orville and Wilbur days. Right. Like, you're supposed, like, the laid off factory workers, like, goddamn right. You know,
was there a wave of like neo Ludditism happening in like the 80s?
I don't know. I mean, like, that's the Ted Kaczynski was kind of formed in those years, so
that's true.
The number of Luddites formed is not zero. I don't think it's as bad today, is about as bad as I've seen. Like, we do feel like there's a growing Luddite movement in the country. Saying,
and that's why hipsters wear all those like Amish outfits and stuff,
right? They're forsaking buttons for when.
It all started with the button. The Amish were right about that at all.
That's true.
I mean, think about it. Button on your shirt. Now what's right in front of you on your keyboard? A bunch of buttons. Think about it, sheeple.
Surrounding you. The government sure doesn't want you to think about it. That's for damn sure.
They want you distracted.
They don't want you thinking about it.
Uh-oh. What's on your TV remote, Aaron? Buttons.
Buttons, true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, my finger is over my mouse left and right button.
Oh, they're everywhere.
So she manipulates Airwolf's radar to hide from them. That gives Russian John Turturro the drop on Airwolf, and he rakes Airwolf with cannon fire, but Airwolf's armor holds. Dom can't believe how glued onto their ass they are, and then Gloriana smugly explains that she's getting the live feed of their telemetry. Every move the Hawk makes, Russian John Turturro can copy mere seconds later. There's no way they can shake him.
It's a good thing he was also like a highly qualified attack helicopter pilot, as well as being a Russian super spy.
An international arms dealer. He's like a triple threat.
Yeah, for real.
So Hawk's like, fuck this, give me combat mode, but Airwolf won't respond, that refuses to deploy his weapons, and calls his turbos offline too. Dom says, someone's pulled our teeth!
Mm-hmm.
Hawk says, deploy our guns manually, and Dom's like, I can do that?
right. Yeah.
And he goes to work, shutting off all our... So Winchester's dying on the lab floor.
It's like, go cold! Fly cold!
Build a fly cold! And I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? But Hawk instantly understands.
Yeah.
I mean, shut down all the computers.
Right. Which they were doing earlier for fun when they were drunk.
Yeah.
So that was like their inside sort of a thing.
Playing it, they're flying cold.
Yeah, well, they get some cold beers, they turn off all the communications and computers, and just fly around, you know, like the old days. Orville and Redenbacher, whatever their names were.
That's right.
Levi made a good point when we were watching this, that when they turn off all the machinery, it stops playing the synth, and it starts playing the trumpet again.
A really badass, like, you know, got like a really really strong bass line, and the trumpets. And now Hawk display, he pulls out his icy glare, his icy helmeted glare, and you know.
Oh, that's what fly cold means.
Yeah. Flying is a dish best served cold. And Dom's back in engineering, and he's got his soldering kit out, and he's hot wiring connections, and you can see, like, boom, the missile pod bay door opens, and then he solders, and he crosswires, and he jumps, and then boom, the missile pod pops out, and, Hawk is just on this guy's ass. He can't shake him. He fires a single rocket, just blows that helicopter to hell.
It turns into a
giant plywood effigy that's dropped from about a 300-foot construction crane straight to the ground. Glorious.
I gotta say, I didn't quite pay attention to that part before.
Did you see it? Look at it. He'll drop straight down. Yeah, like it's like when he blows this thing up, you'll see it blow up, and it'll split to this helicopter wreckage just dropping out of the sky. Because, again, I guarantee you they dropped it from a construction crane. I've seen that on Mythbusters 300 times.
Well, yeah, it reminds me of the Blues Brothers, how they just dropped cars from cranes. It's like, they jumped off a bridge.
Here comes everybody, watch. Oh, the steely glare.
Oh my god, okay, that's really bad.
It just drops, right? Yeah. But hey, mid-80s, that was pretty fucking sexy, especially since I don't think I'd ever seen a helicopter blow up. Always, the crash beyond the Windows XP start screen.
And it was like, that was funny. It was only on the screen for like half a second, too. They didn't give you time to freeze frame.
They're not proud of that effect. They're just getting it out of there. Airwolf lands at the base and takes the stricken doctor to the hospital because, after all, what's faster than Airwolf? Unfortunately, Hawk is reluctant to use the full force of its turbos because he's afraid it'll injure the doctor further. Winchester weakly takes the stick from Hawk, taking control of Airwolf for a minute as he admires its flying and he gets a few moments of bliss before he slips away.
Yeah.
And Hawk looks sweaty and thoughtful. The sad horns play us out.
Yeah, it was good.
It's a good Airwolf episode. Damn near like an arch villain, you know, turned frenemy.
Mm-hmm.
With a head-to-head face-off. It's, you know, with the kind of like an evil version of Airwolf. I'm telling you.
I think
evil versions of hero vehicles.
Yeah. We got Staples. Kit. We got the evil A-team.
Mm-hmm.
We got evil, sort of evil.
Do you think the most popular greatest American hero will be an evil greatest American hero?
Yeah, an it'll evil, be an evil special ed teacher.
A group of aliens drops off. Yeah, an evil special ed teacher and an evil FBI agent. Who's sober as a judge, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what is it? Speaking of that, because that's it. And unfortunately, I didn't have time to compile feedback. I imagine we got some.
That's all right.
I have been head fire ass catching mode trying to plan for this 4-day camping trip, backpacking trip I'm taking.
You be safe.
I only got like two more hours before I got to go to sleep and I got to wake up everything fully packed. So I'm going to the Gorge, our old stomping grounds.
Oh, hell yeah. Very fun.
I'll text you a pic from one of the overlooks.
Please do.
But what is the greatest American hero? What is the greatest American hero?
Let me look that up real quick. Real quick.
While Jay's looking that up, I will say that if you want to send us feedback at feenie@baldmove.com is where you want to send it. And I was just thinking, because like we always record the feedback and the episode's out of sync, so it's entirely possible people will hear me say, I didn't have time to compile feedback. And then you get like 50 minutes of feedback because it'll be from 3 weeks from now when I had time to do it. So you never know.
You never know. At least now you're covered.
Matt from Mid-State, New York says, I was listening to the latest episode.
I didn't know there was a Mid-State, New York. I know there's Upstate.
It sounds like an upstater that's in denial. But, you know.
Okay.
Because there's this isn't like Upstate New York kind of.
There's Upstate New York and then there's New York City. I've never ever in my life heard Mid-State New York.
It's just like this wilderness in between.
Yeah, right. And apparently Matt.
Plus, like, I think Upstate doesn't. They're like pretty like a bougie, but bougie, like Manhattan's bougie, but like they're cool bougie, right?
You're asking
upstate
the wrong
New York
dude.
Is just
kind of
rural bougie. Matt, he doesn't truck with that shit. He's from Mid-State.
Yeah, Mid-State, baby. I love it.
Says, I was listening to the latest episode about the best MacGyver episode, and the theme song sounded exactly like the Rescue Rangers theme. Is he secretly financing the rodent gang, or more likely was the composer for Rescue Rangers just a big MacGyver fan? Hell, he might have been the same composer.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for doing this highly entertaining podcast. My cheeks have been sore multiple times from laughing so hard. Have you heard the Rescue Rangers theme?
Rescue Rangers.
It does have that. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Okay. Let's find this. Let's actually not be lazy and do a little research here.
All right.
MacGyver theme song. I want to see the composers.
I'll look up Rescue Rangers.
How do you even fucking find this out? Rescue Seems composer.
I'm getting Jeff
Mark
Pesketto.
Mueller.
Well, definitely not the same guy.
I got Randy Eidelman.
So under Jeff Pesketto, he is also well known for being the singer of the theme songs to the 1980s Disney cartoon series Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and DuckTales, both composed by
Mark Mueller.
Mark Mueller.
Yeah.
Who did?
And, who did not do Greatest American Hero? Or no, it didn't do MacGyver. MacGyver is written by Randy Eidelman. Is the theme song of that? So yeah, no relation, but heavy inspiration and borrowing for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Chippendale Rescue Rangers. That was a banger of a theme song.
Yeah, it's kind of infamous in Bald Move circles because I once confessed, like at the dawn of Bald Move, that I thought Gadget was hot.
Uh-oh.
I did. She's a cute mouse girl. She was designed, like, look at her. Anyway. Thanks for the kind words, Matt. I like hearing that other people are catching our wavelength on these things. Jamie is up next, says, hey guys, I know you've already done an IMDb best episode, but I happen to live with a certified MacGyver expert, aka my mechanical engineer husband, who owns the entire series box set on DVD.
Nice.
And claims all engineers love MacGyver. Well, they have to. He wanted to weigh in on the series. While he admits the show quality declines in later season, in his opinion, the season 7 two-parter called Good Night MacGyver, spelled K-N-I-G-H-T.
Oh, like Michael Knight.
Episode 7 and 8 is the best. So here's the premise. After being knocked out by a falling piano, MacGyver goes back in time to hang out with King Arthur, who is Pete, his boss, and Merlin. It's medieval MacGyver.
Oh, man. That sounds way fun.
It's an incredibly silly episode, but you also find out MacGyver's first name, which the show had not mentioned yet. Nothing like a big reveal 6 episodes before the end of the series.
In a Merlin flashback piano knockout episode. That's hilarious.
This does sound kind of awesome. Maybe we can take a second poke or third poke at MacGyver in season 3.
Yeah, definitely.
My husband also says that the A-Team theme is way better than MacGyver 1, but not better than Knight Rider, for which I think he's incorrect. The Knight Rider theme slaps the hardest. Have you guys settled on which 80s action TV theme is the best? I don't think we both come to a mutual agreement. We both think Knight Rider's a banger.
Yeah.
I have a hard time deciding whether I like Knight Rider or Airwolf better. And then I think right under that tier, you have Dukes of Hazzard, and then A-Team, and then Greatest American Hero. I think Greatest American Hero is shit.
It's bad.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's just not a theme song.
Yeah, it's not my kind of song.
I think A-Team deserves to be way higher than you have it on its list, and I have Knight Rider as the number one easy, not even close.
Where do you have Airwolf?
Hum the Airwolf one for me for a second. I got that below A-Team. That's great.
I think consensus Knight Rider is the best theme song of the slate. Yeah, it's the closest to consensus we're going to come.
I think so, yes. We'll leave it at that before it comes to blows.
Matt says, obviously you guys should at some point cover Quantum Leap. It's an 80s of a show as ever existed. Thanks for covering some of our old favorites. Cheers. Thanks, Matt. I would be down, because here's the thing. I never saw Quantum Leap. It seems like I should have. I was a big Star Trek kid. And like, I feel like that's very Trek adjacent. Like, it's in the Doctor Who, Star Trek, you know, kind of like nerdy kids gravitated to that kind of shit. But for some reason, I never watched it.
I've seen episodes of it, but I've never really given it a close look.
Yeah, it's funny because I was watching the video for Red Letter Media's coverage of the finale of Picard this week, and they talked about Quantum Leap a couple of different times, and it seems to be kind of a cultural touchstone for them. So yeah, I'd be down. Again, I don't know what our format for season 3 is going to be. Let's leave all that for next week.
Yeah,
that for next week. Okay, that's going to do it for us here. It's going to do it for us here at the old Mr. Feeney. Why is Mr. Feeney a car? Feeney at baldmove.com. Jay, what is the greatest American hero?
I'm still looking.
Well, someone recommended Wizards and Warlocks, which I'd like for you to know what that rating is, and then like what the best one is, so we can have some...
For whatever reason, normally it's really easy to find.
Sometimes you got to go rogue. You got to not listen to the listeners.
Oh, okay. So there's one called Divorce Venusian Style.
Oh, that actually sounds pretty awesome.
After a loud argument with Bill, Ralph quits the hero business and turns to his super suit. And turns in his super suit, unknown to both men, a gang of neo-Nazis plans to murder them. That one sounds pretty fun.
I know, but okay, what's a Wizards and Warlocks one? Can you find that?
Let me real quick.
Greatest American Hero, Wizards and Warlocks. What episode is that?
Season 3, episode 10, Wizards and Warlocks. Uh-oh.
What's that rating? 7.3?
What is this one rated at? This one is rated at 7.3.
Mm-hmm.
Just the synopsis. I'm just going to read it. When an Arab prince who is the country studying disappears, that's a typo on the website. Yeah. Bill tries to find him with help from Ralph. They learn that he is taking part in a game called Wizards and Warlocks, wherein someone gives him a task to do. Now the people who are trying to grab the prince have taken the ... read all.
I've taken the only person who knows what the prince is doing, so Ralph and Bill have to turn to the only person who might know where the prince is, the man who created the game.
Like, okay, come on. Like, okay, so let's
do
say...
Do you see the screenshot of the skull with the candle? This
awesome.
Looks pretty fucking satanic panic possibility.
The other one has
neo-Nazis.
Some
of the photos. Some of the photos from this episode. Boy, I don't know, man. That looks like a lot of fun, too. And fun, it's like cross, you know, like we can talk about D&D.
Yeah, let's do Wizards and Warlocks.
We can talk about, the show itself doesn't have to be so entertaining because we can fill in the gaps.
I love the idea that, a college student goes missing, right? His last known location, he was playing Dungeons and Dragons. So they're like, we have to get Gary Gygax. Only he can help us solve this case.
Oh, man.
It's like, they
actually
probably
got
hit by a car.
If they actually got Gary to do it, that'd be pretty funny.
That would be awesome.
You got this dork that looks like Bill Gates in a fez with like a lightning bolt and a silver star. I guess he's the dungeon master.
That's probably
I vote for Wizards and Warlocks.
Seconded. Passes.
All right.
Stamp it.
This is, would you say season 3?
310?
310. All right, cool.
I think.
So yeah, we'll be doing season 3, episode 10, Greatest American Hero, Wizards and Warlocks next week. Check it out on your favorite streaming service if you want to do some pre-show boning up on the pre-show.
Okay.
Also, or you could show up on Tuesday night where most
That's
of the
true.
Time Jay shows up and watches. He screens the episode that you're going to be watching.
Yeah, we get a pre-watch. That's like a chill hang. We crack wise and stuff. It's good times.
Yeah, it's a good time. Check that out at Jay. Where do they find you?
I'm on Twitch, blue_J_streams, as was mentioned earlier. And I'm back on YouTube. I got some bald move love in the comment section today. So thank you for checking
that
out.
Ride to the rescue. Nice.
That's
nice.
Coffee from Tcapistan. So check me out on YouTube. Coffee from Tcapistan. TCAPISTAN. That's exclusively To Catch a Predator content. So if you're not interested in watching To Catch a Predator, maybe not for you. But
you have
to
be respectful
in
discussing.
We do not threaten, bully, or harass on the channel. We adhere by YouTube's community guidelines.
Convicted child molesters. We don't. Yeah, you got to show them, the community guidelines worth of respect.
Exactly.
All right. Feeny at baldmove.com is how you send in feedback. Follow Jay on twitch.tv/blue_J_streams. That's going to be it for this week. We'll see you next week for the greatest American hero, or Woo! I don't know, the one that sounded most fun to us. Until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jay McCain. And hey, Kit, why don't you hit the ejector seat? Boing. Ah, uh-oh, it's a propeller. We died in that one.
It's just a simulation.
Oh, okay, thank God.